if you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time.
Another good morning, Grand Rising, however you would like to address it. Welcome to the CRCS, the Counter-Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. We thank you again for tuning in to today's program. If you would like to speak with Mr. Fuller with a question or a comment that he refers to as VGQ, you can do so by calling 516-453-9921. And when you call that number, be sure to press the number one button so that you can fall in rotation. And please give your name to the call screener, as Gregory has done out in Florida. We will get to him momentarily. And if you would like, you can also go to my Gmail account by this address, the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. You can do that. Or you can go into the chat room, as Ace Sankofa is in there with me this morning. Amani, to you, my brother. Appreciate it. And that way you can see all the chats and the conversations that go on in there. And occasionally I will select one and read it. Okay. All I'm told, or Mr. Fuller and I have been told, that all the books are in, and Mr. Fuller will be speaking about more directly about the books probably at the 45-minute mark or somewhere around in there. You will get all the information that you need to get the books, and it's worth your while to get it. Speaking about the books, I understand there was a lady, I forgot her name, Mr. Fuller, it escapes me, that called in and said something about if you go to your local library and ask for the publication, Mr. Fuller's publication, and if they don't have it, by understanding, according to the information I got, I think it was Monica or somebody in Buffalo, she indicated that they would get the book. Well, somebody Gmailed me, and I think Brian Gmailed me, and told me that he had done that and is seeing that his library and his location is going to get the book. So that's good. That's one way that you can spread this unique word that we have going out. Okay, so we appreciate you listening. So let's get the show started by, as we customarily do, which we will say, good morning, Mr. Fuller, and how are you this day?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay. All right, let's get Gregory there. Okay, let's start off with a Gmail. Thank you, Emery, for tuning in. Mr. Fuller, this comes from Mr. Jones. He says, Mr. Fuller, how can we stop the bastardization of Juneteenth, which is a holiday that we made? I don't want it to be ruined. What do you think, Mr. Fuller?
Education, no celebration for any so-called holiday, but that would be true for any day because according to the code, every day is a holiday, a whole day. Every day should be valued for getting the things done that need to be done. Every breath that a person takes should be used to to do something that produces a constructive result. That's the criteria. Not waiting around looking forward to a balloon buying and getting ready to figure out what type of barbecue you're going to make and all like that on certain days. According to the code, we are in a war. Black people are not eligible or qualified to celebrate anything until this war is over, which means we don't celebrate, we educate, but we educate all the time because that's what we're lacking. Education means knowing what to do about everything that comes up that presents a problem. And even before it becomes a problem, knowing what to do, what to say, where to go, how to solve problems by any means that you can solve problems and produce, which means producing a constructive result. Because if you don't have a constructive result, problem isn't solved. One of the codified sayings is, solve problems without making any. Do black people know how to do that? Worldwide, are we known? Do we have a reputation worldwide? When you say black people, do you think about, oh, you're talking about problem solvers. You're talking about those, that category of people who everything about them is problem solving. They don't make a move without thinking about, what's the problem? That's the first thing they ask. That's the first thing out of their mouths. What is the problem? Well, I'm in the business of solving problems. I think about solving problems all the time. I wake up in the morning and go to bed at night talking about and thinking about problem solving, not barbecue and bottom shaking on the tops of cars. I don't do any of that. Don't recommend any of that. Will not participate in any of that under any circumstance ever until when or even after then. Problems are solved. What problems? Every last problem that you can possibly encounter. That is a celebration within itself. When you wake up every morning and you don't have any problems because all problems have been solved before you woke up. Why? Because we are people who have that kind of reputation. 24/7. That's all we want to know. What's the problem? Okay, that means that I have a duty, not an option, to solve that problem. Can't look over my shoulder and look down the street and all like that. That's my job from here right on in. This problem is presented to me. That's why it was presented to me. This problem was brought to me one way or another, which means I have to do everything I can to solve this problem. Why? Why is it my problem? Because it's being presented to me. That's why. That's the compensatory thinking. That's the new type of thinking that we have not adopted, but which, according to the code, we're supposed to adopt. So about any of these so-called holidays that the white supremacists say they are now going to recognize, including all of those that they got planned to come up later. Well, when black people get all stirred up, start talking about Black Lives Matter and all like that, give them something to get out there and do some bottom shaking about. Because they love to get out there with balloons, barbecue, and bottom shaking at the drop of a hat. Because that's all we have allowed them to ever know. Hmm. Keep them that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. There you go, Mr. Jones. And this comes from Gary. He says this, Mr. Fuller. He said, Mr. Fuller, what is the best way to go about getting reparations? And also, do you think $20 trillion would be a good amount? Thank you.
When we think about reparations and codification is about reparations, compensatory code, reparations, compensation and reparations, both the same thing. What is reparations? Repair. Reparations. Repair. That's what it means. Compensating for damages done. Now, let's look at the damages that have been done since the beginning of the system of white supremacy. So when you put it on a, give a title to it, that's the first thing to get straight, because we're not even using the correct titles. The correct title, when you're going to any university or anything like that, is replace the system. This is capital letters now. Replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. That's the first stage of repair before we can go on from there and then institute something called universal man and universal woman. But you first have to eliminate the system of white supremacy. That's the repair job, the whole system, which now the white supremacists are really doing some pushback on anybody, even hinting at, are coming dangerously close. The hinting, just hinting. I see it in this morning's Washington Post. There are articles about it. I see it on TV and whatnot. Most black people are not even thinking about that word systemic. Systemic racism. But now it's at the forefront. I've been trying to put it out there, but somebody's made a short two-word thing out of it, systemic racism, whereas the whole phrase is replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. That's the repair job. You just don't say systemic racism. That's frightening to a whole bunch of white people who are saying, wait a minute, you're saying that I might be a part of that system? When you start talking about systems now, if you're talking about individuals, yeah, I'll admit that racism exists. But if you're talking about racism as a system, no, 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 no. And you're going to teach that in school to white children? See, and I thought about that because I really don't know what this thing about critical race theory is. Most black people, I think, have just heard the term. But most black people don't know anything about that. But it's here. So which means that the white supremacists, the usual suspects, probably invented that term, critical race theory. Or even if they didn't, they're putting their spin on it for sure. And it's called systemic racism. This is an answer to the caller's question now. So what do you do? We're talking about money. Now, another thing, black people have been oriented to think about money, like some of the, you know, programs that are going on now, $300, $400, I mean, to each child and all like that. All. No, that won't work for the long haul. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about reparations at all. We're talking about replacing an entire system, pulling it up by the roots. The system of white supremacy. But when you remove something, the law of compensation says you have to replace it with something. So they say, yeah, you replace the system of white supremacy by giving every black person a paycheck. Everybody lines up, just like we do when we go to vote. And, you know, Jubilee time again. We'll have a special day. We'll, you know, every day for a little while will be Juneteenth, when we can just turn flips and drive limousines and hire chauffeurs. And, man, I mean, we'll have the biggest parade in history all over the world. Jubilee time. That's what we're used to. We're used to thinking that way. They have us thinking that way. No. Reparations means generational. We're talking about generational repair because the damage has been done over generations, folks. I'm going to repeat that. the damage has been done over generations since the beginning of the system of white supremacy. Not plantation slavery. That wasn't the beginning of white supremacy. That's just a little blip on the screen. We're talking about something big. The biggest thing that has ever hit this planet is called the system of white supremacy. The most influential and progressive government and destructive government when it comes to people that has ever been invented in the minds of people. So we're talking about a colossal program, a slow program, methodical program that's well put together. Now the program, when I say slow, I don't mean slow in coming. It should be executed right this minute, all right? But I'm talking about you're repairing 9 areas of activity, economics. You got to make sure the economics is absolutely letter perfect. Education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, so that everything that black people are involved in produces what? A constructive result. Everything. See, when we start talking about repairing, man, that's huge. Beyond imagination, the type of repair job we're talking about. But it can be imagined and should be and must be if we're talking about reparations. And I'm taking up some, in answer to this question, I'm taking up a lot of time in doing this because this is huge. This is huge. This is not some penny ante petty thing. And we're not talking about dollars or pounds or any currency that the world knows about, whatever the German currency is. We're talking about repairing whole systems, economics, whatever the economic system is, a complete overhaul. That's what we're talking about. Education system. You go into the schools and you go to the libraries and you pull books off the shelf and put new books on that tell what the real thing is. That's huge. In every library, in every little small village, in all the big libraries, the library in Timbuktu and the library in London and Paris, all of that. Go through all of that. And you got to go through all the books and whatnot and see that they reveal what? Truth. All of the lies that have been told in the system of white supremacy. That you keep them on record as lies. But you got to go through every book, turn every page. We're talking about a huge operation when we're talking about repairing black people. Not some payoff at a window, which they'll have every dime of it back even before you get it. The white supremacists wink at each other on that one. They say, these black people, you know how they deal with money. And they laugh. Black people deal with money the way we train them to deal with it. I'm grinning from ear to ear. First thing they're going to do is run out there and buy the fanciest cars they can get. They're going to be buying houses, and we will sell them to them at the prices that we want. We will sell them everything that we want before. We'll give them those paychecks at noon today, and before 5 o'clock that evening, we'll have all that money back with their dumb selves. What are they going to do with it? Anything that they get, they got to get it from us. They haven't even thought about that. Plus, half of them won't even show up won't even survive the day. Or great numbers of them in some places on account of their minds all messed up. They'll be all drugged out. They'll be killing each other by the dozens. And all we have to do is sit back and watch the carnage and the foolishness, because that's all they know. Why? Because that's all we taught them. That's why.
Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. Wow. Emery Lumumba says, Fuller expound on that statement: to the extent that a white supremacist has anything to do with anything, it's designed to strengthen the system of white supremacy. Purdue's Justice just joined the chat. Appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Let's go to Gregory in Florida. Gregory, you are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Good morning. I wanted to ask Mr. Fuller his update on what he did with the vaccine and what does he think about how they're really trying to push that right now?
I didn't get the question.
Gregory, could you repeat that again, please, sir?
Yeah, Mr. Fuller, I was wondering what your update was with you with the vaccine, if you've had the vaccine, and what you think about how they're really trying to push that going forward with everything right now with the vaccine.
The vaccine? I don't know what to say about the vaccine. I don't know what to say about the vaccine because what would I say? You either take it or you don't. And so I don't know whether to take it or not. I'll put it this way. And even though the code says I'm not supposed to talk about anything that's too personal, because that's another thing about the code. But I have had the first shot. I just want people to know that, because that's the truth. You start with the truth. I have ventured to take the first shot. But I'm saying to the entire world, it's a roll of the dice. This whole thing about this vaccine, when it comes to the non-white people of this entire planet, it's a roll of the dice. But then it's a roll of the dice anytime you eat the foods that the white supremacists say will make you healthy. Will it or will it not? On the surface, it may be. Everybody might be saying. School teachers might, who teach nutrition might be saying, this is the way to go. But then if black people say this is the way to go, who knows whether or not the white supremacists who control the food are poisoning that particular type of food. So every time you do anything in this giant prison system that we're talking about, called the system of white supremacy, you're at the mercy of the white supremacists. Anytime you do anything, you're at their mercy. You're a non-white person on this planet. You're at the mercy of the white supremacists in every move you make.
All righty. Thank you, Gregory. Mr. Fuller, by the way, Gregory, don't be a stranger here. Mr. Fuller, Emery Lumumba revised his question, and this was a question that says, please have Mr. Fuller expound on the statement, quote, to the extent that a white supremacist has anything, that's capitalized, to do with anything, it's designed to strengthen the system of white supremacy, end of quote.
Yes.
He wanted, mm-hmm.
Yes, including Juneteenth. Juneteenth, rather. That holiday, for an example. If the white supremacist says it's okay, look at it. Now, see what black people actually did on that day. I saw some of it on TV in my own mind. I didn't say anything to anybody about it because I don't like to make predictions. But I said, I got an idea of what's going to be going on. And so, but talking about black people's problems and faults, that's easy to do. We've been doing a lot of that, and everybody's been doing that, including myself, which you always start with that. But then what to do about it, which is what I talked about earlier. We have to make everything that we do have a constructive result. So we just look at what we did on this holiday that just passed, quote unquote, and say, what was the constructive result of our activities? What's the death rate among black people? Killing black people. As long as one black person is killing another, according to the code, one black person kills another black person. And then somebody mentions progress anywhere on the planet, the response should be instantaneously, according to the code, none. Just on that alone. Oh, a black person killed a black person, you say, somewhere in eastern Congo yesterday, some type of tribal dispute, and then you mention black progress, none, zero. Next question, next subject. We've taken care of that. Well, you're saying black people haven't made no progress in all these years? No. What did I just say? Read my lips. Listen to me. Zero progress. It's only when the killing stops. And when you say stop, you don't put a, well, when it's just 10 times a year. No. Forget that. No progress. We haven't made any. You mean in all these years, Martin Luther King struggled? Hey, what did I say? Zero. Let's talk about cleaning this mess up. Don't talk about progress. Don't even let that word come anywhere near your mind. We're nowhere near even getting at the starting line of what you call progress for where we need to go. That's the type of thinking we want every black person, every non-white person on the planet to have right this minute. Stop talking about in these schools, you know, the nice black lady comes before the class. Now, children, let's talk about the era when black people made the most progress. Now, this era, from that era, she goes to the blackboard and drones on for about an hour. We need to get rid of all of that type thinking, every bit of it, every ounce of it, and say, no, we are prisoners of war. And we're talking about progress. First of all, is it true that we're prisoners of war right this minute in 2021, in June, the year 2021. Are we prisoners of war, prisoners of the system of white supremacy, which is war, or not? And if the answer is yes, zero progress. There's no such thing as prisoners of war making progress. That's impossible.
It's impossible. Hold it right there, Mr. Fuller. We have to take a pause for the cause. Everybody, you are... If you're tuned in to this station, you are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show, also known as the CRCS, with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And if you would like to join the conversation or even support it by listening, you can call this number, 516-453-9921. And if you have a question or comment, just press the number one button and you will get in line. And when we can get to you, we will. You will have a chance to speak with Mr. Fuller. Please, ma'am. Please, sir. Make your questions short, or your VGQ short if you have one, so that it can be understood and then answered appropriately by Mr. Fuller, as George and Marcus and Darnell is doing. Swai usually has a question, so we'll have him. Come on also. Okay, again, you are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller. By the way, that Gmail address is the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And you also are welcome to join the chat room, as a few have joined. Purdue's 21 is in there, so grand rising to everybody. Let's get back to the show. Mr. Fuller, is there an update for you since we're coming on the end of the month? Any of your appearances by the airways on the Carl Nelson Show on WOR out of Washington, D.C., 1450 on the AM dial?
No one has notified me yet.
Okay. I ask that because many people ask me about that. I know you said that when you do, you will notify us as soon as possible, or it is on the website at producejustice.com for any updates on that. So I just want to get that out there because I'm asked about that all the time. Even people that listen to this show or tune in to that show also with Brother Carl Nelson. Okay, let's go to the Bronx, and we have George. Let me get you in, George. Okay, got you here, George. What is your question for Mr. Fuller? And you can be heard. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Yes. I wanted to ask Mr. Fuller about an idea around sexual energy. Now, in your book, you said sexual energy, and I heard you say many times sexual energy is the most powerful motivator, second to the system of white supremacy. And I've also heard you say that you should have sexual intercourse no more than 2 times a week. Now, I want to ask as a young man, and many young men like me have high sexual energy at this age. I wanted to ask about the topic of auto-sexual practices such as masturbation. Now, you said no more than 2 times a week for some people, but I wanted to ask, should men refrain from doing that at all since sexual energy is such a powerful motivator? Now, I've heard boxers such as Muhammad Ali say before a fight, he refrains from doing that for the whole duration of training for a fight because that energy is powerful. Even Miles Davis has said that when he's composing songs or albums, he refrains from doing that, period. It's a big distraction, and that energy takes away from his creative potential. Now, I just wanted to ask, is masturbation for young men a constructive behavior to do? What is your codified idea around conservation of sexual energy and masturbation? Thank you.
Don't give any instructions on that. I chose not to. I just simply said, under time and energy, which I'd like for the whole world to hear this, page 60 of the revised expanded edition of the textbook for victims of white supremacy, under economics. That's the first thing that's in there. The first entry is how black people should use their time and energy in the system of white supremacy. And what you are talking about is one of the four things that are listed there. Sexual intercourse, but no more than twice every 7 days. That's it. And that's as far as I go with it. Now, what you do, I mean, how you do whatever you do, or how you think, or like in the case of somebody who's just illustrated, Muhammad Ali or Miles Davis, or, you know, these are suggestions. I never heard about the Muhammad Ali recommendation or the Miles Davis recommendation. If that works for some people, then work it that way. But no more than twice, that's sexual intercourse, actually male making contact with female, no more than twice weekly. Now, how long you are engaged in it and you're once and then twice, that's up to you and your partner, whatnot, whether it's 2 hours, 3 hours, but no more than twice every 7 days. That's the recommendation of the uses of your time and energy. That's one of the four things that are presented there. I always tell the entire world, if you get lost about the code and what you should be doing and shouldn't be doing, and you get a little frustrated and whatnot, you can always go to page 60, time and energy, and say, what am I supposed to be doing right now? It's just four things there, just four. If you're a non-white person in the system of white supremacy, you're supposed to be doing one of those four things. Anything that's not on that four-thing umbrella, that's a danger sign that you're not on your J-O-B as a victim of white supremacy. You're not on your job. It's under economics. Economics is about what? The use of time and energy, not just money. When black people think of economics, we think of money immediately. That's all we think about.
Mm-hmm.
When you say economics, black mm-hmm. economics, you think about money. The white supremacists has trained us to think about money. But economics basically is about how you use your time and how you use your energy worldwide. It applies to everybody. It applies to all animals and whatnot. Animals don't deal with money. Alligators don't deal with money. Bears. But they use time and energy. To do what? To get the results that they need. So those four things, that's as far as I'm going to go in answer to the question.
Okay.
Now, whatever, you know, hey, how you doing, what you're doing, all like that. But you're talking about male with female when you're talking about sex.
Okay.
Anything else really isn't sex. Okay.
Okay.
But how you handle that gets into something else. But I'm talking about male with female. That's sex. That,
okay.
That's the definition of it. Anything else is something that's something else. That's all. It's just something
okay,
else.
To be clear, then you don't have anything or you're not going to address or have anything
not
to
going
say
any further
about
than
masturbation.
That. When you start
okay.
talking about masturbation and all like that, not going into that. I'm talking
okay.
about use of time and energy.
Use of time and energy. Okay. Gregory, thank you for your call. And do not be a stranger. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Marcus. I believe, yeah, Marcus got you. See if I can get you in, Marcus. Okay, well, you up early out there in Long Beach. Marcus, go ahead. You're on with Mr. Fuller.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. I'm
good morning, sir.
Yeah, I do wake up early just to get on the show, to be honest. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
I have a VGQ real quick before I ask my question, and I'd like to stay on the line.
Okay.
This morning, Mr. Fuller opened up the program talking about why we should not celebrate holidays and celebrate any days, and I've heard him say that countless number of times. And sure enough, on Juneteenth out here in California, Oakland, seven people shot. I don't know how many deceased. But and then he said something very, very crucial. What was it? Bottom shaking, barbecuing, and what was the other B? I forgot the other B.
Well,
but,
I said. I mean, I named a number of things. Anything else? Bullets. That usually goes with any kind of celebration. Bullets, barbecue, mm-hmm. and black bottom shaking. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what we're notorious for here in the year 2021, according to what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Bullets flying, barbecue smoking, and black bottom shaking. Now, that's what I'm seeing. And that's what we call black progress here in 2021. That's
mm-hmm.
the label for black progress worldwide. This is the examples that we show. I'm just going by what I'm looking at. Now, somebody will say, oh, no, it's a whole lot of people that don't do that. Well, I'm not talking about a whole lot of people. I'm talking about anybody who's got that idea. So I say everything should be quiet because the compensatory code is about not just talking about what's going on that shouldn't be happening. The compensatory code is all about what should be happening.
Mm-hmm.
So on so-called holy days or holidays, which is every day, you're supposed to be doing the same thing. Nothing changes. And that is producing constructive results. So now, is getting a bigger belly from barbecue, and certainly curing black people's problems by seeing how many 9mm we can fire off into a crowd and run. A lot of that we do. Or firing pistols in the air or whatnot. And black bottom shaking. Now, what's the constructive result? At the end of the day, you know, what you have to actually achieve that you can say I can pass on to future generations. What did you do that day? Did you build anything? Did you educate anybody, meaning you had someone learn something of constructive value? You went over to their house and you did something of constructive value that will, you know, you would think about years later and say, you know what? That garage that we built, it's still there. That's what we did that day. I mean, it took us about, you know, all year to plan how we were going to do it.
Uh-huh.
But we went over to Jack's house, and, you know, it was about maybe 14 of us. And we had all the, you know, scrap lumber and whatnot that we get together and whatnot. And we had three or four people that knew how to build a garage. And we got over there and we actually built that garage. I went by there the other day. That garage is still there. The house is gone. And another house is there. But that garage that we built is still there. See, I'm talking about just simple things like that to start with. And then you expand. I mean, something of constructive value. These days are coming up that we call so-called holidays or holy days. We don't even make contact with each other unless we have a constructive plan for doing so. If you don't come up with anything, then you don't make contact, period. Well, we ain't going to gather down at the beach no more? No. No. Unless you can show where gathering at the beach is going to produce something constructive. Zero. Zero. See, it's a new way of thinking altogether, and that's what we need. Otherwise, nothing ever is going to change. We're always sitting around, I mean, forever, moping. How come nothing ever changed? Well, we don't change. Duh. Start with that. Have a code that you don't violate. An individual code. You're nobody checking on you or anything like that. It's not that type of code where other people can critique you. Critique yourself. That's what the United Independent Compensatory Code System's concept is about. Critiquing yourself.
Okay. Did I have
I hope I answered the question.
Yes, you did. Hello?
Hello?
Okay. So the question that I did want to ask you was, on page 68, the area one of economics, it says right over here, avoid doing or saying anything that unnecessarily helps to promote a loss of constructive financial support for any person, white or non-white. Avoid doing or saying anything that unnecessarily contributes to any person losing a job, housing, health services, constructive income, et cetera. And then the explanation that follows states, when a person does not have the required financial support or something of equal value, he or she becomes an unnecessary burden on others, an incorrect burden. So when I read that, I asked myself, is this when you become a burden on people in the area of economics, all the other areas of activity follow right in line. So my question was there a specific reason why the book starts off with economics rather than it just being in alphabetical order with the others?
Alphabetical order.
Oh, okay.
When I thought of the nine areas of activity, I just put them in alphabetical order because all of these areas of activity blend into each other anyway. See, these words are just words, but they all, like what we call, quote, unquote, life itself. Life is not categorical, meaning economics in your life is not separate from education in your life. Life, quote, unquote, in your existence. It all blends in. Economics is a part of education. Education is a part of religion. Religion is a part of sex. Sex is a part of politics. Politics is a part of war. See, so all of it blends. So when I thought of the nine areas of activity, I just said, I'll just put them in alphabetical order in the English language. And it doesn't matter which one you pick. You say, well, does economics come first? No, there's no such thing as economics coming first or last or in the middle. Economics means what? Time and energy. So, you know, you might say that the universe started with time and energy. So you can say that. All right. But you have time and energy. What came before time and energy? See, so that's economics too. Before time was invented and energy was invented, what was there? Now, some people can go to what you call the King James Version of the Bible and say everything was void. Okay, well, what's void? What does void look like? Where did that come from? Excellent question. Say, well, Fuller, you're asking questions that nobody can answer. Well, just because nobody can answer it doesn't say it ain't a question, and I know it's a question because I just asked it. What was created before time was created? What was there? Was there a there? And what did that there look like? Well, before you had the universe, there was a thing called space. Wait a minute, space? What's space? See what I mean by that type of thinking? That's compensatory thinking. That's the type of thinking that black people should have, swimming around in your head all the time, thinking about everything in detail, not just the usual things you think about, which is what, when it comes to black people? Just impressing other black people. That's what we think about more than anything. And that's why we have that N-word attached to us, which means, you know, associated with negative or a dead mind. You know, necrology, Negro. Necro. Necro is associated with death. Negro, associated with something dead. See, we are dead-minded people, walking around just as fat as we can be when it comes to consuming food or walking around, eyes bug in wonderment about the entire world that surrounds us. How many of us think about what came before time? No. We're just thinking about, I'm going over there and put a cap on homeboy today because he insulted me. I got my pistol. Now, that's my itinerary for the rest of my life, maybe, because now that I put a busted a cap in him, I got to run and hide and make it look like somebody else did it. See, that's the extent of our world. And the white supremacists want us to stay that way. We're the craziest people who were ever invented. And we are an invention. That's why I say we shouldn't be celebrating anything. That's the ugliest thing you can see a black person do, is celebrating anything. when you compare it with what we should be doing,
Thank
what
you.
The job calls for.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. We had a little difficulty, which you didn't know about, but thank you. Mr. Fuller, by the way, thank you, Marcus, for your call. Mr. Fuller, we're past time, but you need to speak about this book, your book. So could you go ahead and speak and address your book?
Yes. Now, the book is about the entire book is about reparations. Compensatory code is the cliche term for the entire concept, the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. It's a concept. It's something that's never been tried. We've never had a code. What do you mean by code, Fuller? You keep talking about a code. I'm talking about something to do and something to say and what to do and what to say about everything. 24/7 every day, what to do and what to say. Every creature in the universe is either doing something or saying something. You hear the birds out there, they're making what you call noise, the bird noise, or singing, we say it. They're communicating. They're saying something. Saying something to who? To another bird that understands bird language. I don't understand bird language, but I hear them out there in the trees. They're making sounds. But they are communicating. They are sending a code. See, everything that works has a code. Plumbing code, fire code, electrical code. Why do you call it a code? Because it works. Now, I'm writing a code for replacing the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. And how does it work? Well, you can just go. If you're sitting in a classroom, you know, those who go to school or in a college or whatever it is, or on a job. And the racial issue is being discussed. You can just take this code book, the one by Neely Fuller, and just turn over to the back as an opener and say, okay, I would like, you know, here in this conference that we're going to have, whether it's business or anything like that, but it's going to be about race. That's got to be the agreement, whether you're talking to white people or non-white people or an academic setting and the race issue comes up, you can just start off in a compensatory way. Compensatory meaning making up for what's missing. And you don't know what to say or what to do, just take the code book with you and just turn to the back of the book, meaning the back cover. Just lay that down on the desk or on the table and whatnot and just read from top to bottom, everything that's there. That'll be the opener. And then look up from the book after you get through reading or after you just start off with just maybe the first thing that you see in the book after the author, Neely Fuller, talks about himself being a victim and all like that. But you get to what? The first thing on the back of that book is what? Racism has done more to promote non-justice than any other social material system known to have been produced or supported by the people of the known universe. Now, you're discussing racism on the job because they decide to have a seminar on it. You can just start off with that one paragraph. And that one paragraph, without even moving to the next one, might take up the whole meeting, because now you got to agree or disagree with that statement. And what is that statement? I'm going to repeat it again. Racism has done more to promote non-justice than any other social material system known to have been produced or supported by the people of the known universe. True or false? Did anybody want to talk first? Who wants to hold up their hand and talk first? You can just start with that. That might take up the whole day. In fact, it might take up a whole 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have to agree on that or disagree on that before you even get anywhere else. Now, that's what this book is about. Questions and answers, discussing everything in fine detail, because in order to solve the race problem, that's what you're going to need. You're going to have to cover every detail. You can get the book by going to producejustice.com.
All righty. Producejustice.com. Okay. And for those of you who tuned in late, the question was asked of Mr. Fuller if he would be coming up on the Carl Nelson Show, and he replied that as of right now, there has been no mention of it from the people at WOR, Kathy Hughes station, for him being on the program. But when he does do that, he will put that information up on the producejustice.com website, and if I get the information, I will put it up on my site so that we all can be informed of when he is on the Carl Nelson Show. Okay, we have about 4 minutes, Mr. Fuller, so I'm not going to take a call right now because it'll run into the next hour. But in the remaining, let's see here, let me look at the clock here. Okay, in the remaining 3 minutes that we have before this first hour is over with, would you like to address a thing that is on your mind for the next 3 minutes or 2.5 minutes before we transition into the next hour?
Yes, I want to get back right quick, briefly, to this reparations business. We're talking about reparations for war. And the one thing that this is real serious business, folks, we have to agree, get white people to agree that we are really trying to come to a solution to it, which means we can't do it in shouting matches. And people trying to, because a lot of white people are saying, I don't want this stuff taught to my children in school and all like that. Well, it was what stuff, you know. Let's sit down, because at some time, we're talking about negotiations here. So the white people are correct when they say, if you just spend all your time beating up on white people, we ain't buying it. If you come to the meeting that's talking about how you're going to cuss us out and show us a thing or two, and give us a piece of your mind, we ain't buying it. So that's a breakdown in communications right before it begins. You don't want that. You don't want that on your job. You don't want that. You don't want to participate in anything like that at all. You want to get to solutions to the biggest problem that the world has ever seen. And this calls for serious talk, and not a whole bunch of cliches and slogans and all like that. It calls for, okay, how are we going to handle this problem? And right out of the gate, when you talk to white people about solving the race problem, one of the main things, if not the main thing, that you're going to have to talk about, folks, and I'm talking worldwide now, get the sex thing straight first. Now, that's the eighth area of activity, all right, next to the ninth, which is war. And in between, the seventh, which is religion. But get this sex thing straight first. Why? Because that's important to white people. You're going to have to sit down and talk about, okay, how are we going to handle the sexual thing? You know? Well, white people, a lot of white mothers and grandmothers get real nervous when they say, hey, you're going to that school that's got these black children in it and these brown children, and they are in there with my white daughter. And black and brown and all like that get mixed with white and produce offspring somewhere down the line. And I don't know if I want them to have color in their skin. Now, black people got to get serious about that, and white people, too, and let's talk about it.
Okay. Got to leave it there because we got to go into the second hour. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. For those of you who have to go, thank you for listening to the first hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Thank you for all your calls. And hopefully we'll see you next week. For those of you who are staying, stay tuned for the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Fuller, commencing in 5 seconds. All righty. Thank you. And welcome back to the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller. And we thank you for listening. For those of you who are online, thank you. For those of you who would like to participate, the number is 516-453-9921. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And you can also go to the chat room if you have a comment or to look at the conversations that may be happening in the chat room. You can also do that. There was a question or something about that stuff Mr. Fuller referred to. That stuff was the it was the 1619 project by Nicole Hannah Jones. Out of that came the critical race theory, and a lot of white folks in particular are terrified, you know, of that, and they don't want that taught, and a whole bunch of things going on with that. But Nicole Hannah Jones, she's still at the University of North Carolina. There was some stuff that was going on with that because a lot of people, even in the Senate, do not want this taught. They want the narrative just the way that they have set it to be taught in the school, so they are against that. But anyway, that's what we were discussing in the first hour, and also with the reparations. Okay. For those of you who don't know, Mr. Neely Fuller is on the line, and he is ready to answer your questions. Thank you, Marcus. I got you holding. But let's go to Darnell. You've been patient. Darnell, thank you so much. Let me get you in here. Darnell from New York. Okay, you are right. On. Go ahead.
You are back. Hello. Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My question for you today, Mr. Fuller, is why is confusion by the white supremacists of the non-white people so important in the system of white supremacy? I would like to say on Mr. Bobby.
Okay.
The word confusion?
Yes.
Extremely important. Why? Let's think about the word confusion. Let's think about what confusion is. Confusion means not knowing what to do. So, anytime you, for example, or a person or a creature, an animal or whatnot, knows what to do, and the other creatures don't know what to do, that's confusion on the part of the creatures that don't know what to do. Confusion just means you don't know what to do. Confusion means not knowing what to do. What to do about what? What to do to solve a problem. Basically, that's what we usually recognize as being confusion. Your car won't start. You're confused. Confused about what? You don't know what's wrong with the car. Somebody asked a question. What's wrong with the car? Say it won't start. Well, why won't it start? I don't know. Why is it you don't know? Because I'm confused about what's wrong with the car. I'm turning the key in the ignition. I don't hear nothing. Nothing moves. Sound of the engine, which I usually hear, it's not there. I had my radio on. It didn't come on. I'm confused. So, you call someone who is not confused in answer to the question now. So the white supremacists always make sure that when they're around non-white people, even if it's just one white person, around 10 million black people, the white supremacist code is that one white person is supposed to be the least confused person in that whole proud of 1,000 or 1 million black people. That's the white supremacist code. Always make sure if you're a white person, you are the least confused person in any setting where there are people of color. Why? Because the person who is least confused is the most powerful person in that group of people. The person who is least confused about what? About anything that comes up. So confusing people is the first thing that the white supremacists do when they come among people after they get through fighting them or whatever goes on when they make initial contact. They settle down. And when they settle down to the talking, when it comes to the talking part, the white supremacist code, see, they have a code. That's why they're successful at what they do. They say, go to work on that black person's mind. So that when you get up from the table, every time you talk to a black person, that black person walks away scratching his black head. They're as far back as Neely Fuller can remember, I've seen all kinds of cartoons of big, thick-lipped black people, bug-eyed, walking down a country road, scratching his head. Little black Sambo, scratching his head. Scratching his head, trying to get his head to work. Trying to get his brain to work. Get his brain to work doing what? Getting rid of problems. Why does he have problems? Because he's confused about how to solve problems. So the white supremacists always try to make sure when they get up from the negotiating table with black people, a whole bunch of grinning black people who think that they heard the gospel, and that white person who is a white supremacist, if that white person is a white supremacist, all right, always throw that in there, if that white person is a white supremacist, those black people sitting at that table after the negotiations are completed are supposed to be a whole bunch of confused black people, according to the white code. You don't talk to black people unless you leave them. When it's all over and everybody shakes hands, you get up from the table as a white person, a white woman or a white man, all of those black people are supposed to be far more confused than you are. That's the white code.
All righty. Thank you, Darnell, and we'll keep you on the line. Let's go to John. In Houston. Okay, John, got you in. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Fuller Jr. and Mr. Bobby, and thank you
good
for
morning,
taking
sir.
My call. I just have two qualifying statements before asking my question, and it was interesting to segue from the last words that Mr. Fuller Jr. spoke. Critical race theory. Race is a theory that should be critiqued. And once again, race is a theory that should be critiqued. Now, one of the last statements he made about reparations, which makes it problematic in itself, is that it's pertaining to war. And I always agree with his notions and concepts that we are at war. But I would qualify what I'm saying in belief and support of the concept of reparations is to be more accurate in stating either restitution or reclamation. Now, I agree with his definition of what reparations is in regards to repair. The problem for us is our constant being bombarded by the notion that chattel slavery is the condition, not a warfare, warlike state that we exist, which gets to the point of confusion that he just got through talking about. So number one, when you continue to say yourself, whether it is as a victim, or as a descendant of slaves, for example, the ADOS movement, Mr. Bobby, if you may have been hearing lately, the American Descendants of Slaves, or this BIPOC, B-I-P-O-C, categorization that's coming up with Black Indigenous People of Color, which, by the way, is another sly way of referring to us as colored people. When we can't get these concepts accurately described, that fosters more confusion. When I'm stating restitution and reclamation, that is in the context of whether it's war reparations, understanding that a warlike state took place, and therefore there is a cessation of violence, there's an ending of conflict, and this leads into segueing in what I want to ask this question about. The utter uprooting, what I heard Mr. Fuller say this morning, the uprooting of the entire system of white supremacy. So the basis of the question is under this context. It is not possible until it is completely removed, destroyed, dismantled, however you want to describe it, there cannot be a consideration of whether you call it reparations, restitution in a legal form, and under what construct would be the, you know, judging body, if you will, a court, an international court, an appeals court, et cetera. Those things have to actually take place before there's even a discussion of an issue of whether it's reparations, whether it's compensation, whether it's remuneration, or in a court of law, it's usually restitution and punitive damages, if you get what I'm saying, Mr. Bobby. So the question is, first and foremost, the dismantling of the system worldwide, as he said, of white supremacy, before there's even a consideration or a discussion about compensation, reparations, remunerations, restitution, or the repairing, because the damage is ongoing while the system is in effect. So, and I asked this multiple times in the last few conversations about who is the true American, who are the persons that are specifically targeted, who are the ones that are actually injured, and who are the ones that are confused that they are at war. So I know that sounds like multiple questions, but it's still in the context of we're being specific. This is targeted. I don't want to hear a minority. I don't want to hear all these other groups of people being put in, because all this stuff was specifically targeting who I call the Nietzsche and Turtle Island, or the so-called Negro, Black, colored African-American that was fostered under chattel slavery. So I know I've rambled a bit there, and forgive me, Mr. Bobby, I don't have a way of listening. I'll stay on the line. To address reparations, the war must end. The dismantling of the worldwide system of white supremacy, from what I heard Mr. Fuller Jr. say this morning, and we're putting the cart before the horse, if you will. So how will this be done to produce justice and to effect change? Thank you for the time. And again, both of you brothers, happy Father's Day, because it's every day.
If I understand the question, I'm going to try to make a karate chop. Codification is about going right to the point, right quick. Slam dunk. No dribbling down the court. Replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. That's it. And that's no rambling and whatnot. That's not being all over the place and coming up with new words to describe the same thing. Replace the entire system of white supremacy with the system of justice. What's the key word here? Get right to it. The key word here is justice. If you're talking about replacing a system, replacing it with what? Replacing it with something called justice. Okay, so the key word here is what? Justice. 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 Just one word. Not a whole lot of, you know, rambling and whatnot, you know, this type of thing and that type of thing and reparations. And no, justice. So, now, what's the definition of justice? According to the code, very simple, getting right to the point real fast, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated. That's point one. It's just 2 points. There's 2 parts to this thing called justice. Part one, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, ever, for any reason. Number two, guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. That would be the opening statement and any talk about reparations and the closing statement. At each and every meeting, it should be a codified thing because people will be all over the place in talking about this reparations thing. Oh, it'll be millions of words and new words coming up and new words on top of that and new words on top of that and new words on top of that. Oh, you're talking about discussions ad infinitum. The call is correct about that. It just goes on and on and on. You're talking about talk. I mean, it'll be talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. But if you just open the meeting saying, hey, the whole idea is you got to guarantee that nobody's mistreated. That's what we're really talking here. White, non-white, short, tall, you name it. Nobody can be mistreated. So that'll be the only question. That's number one. And beginning and ending of each day, everywhere on this planet, the person that needs help the most during that day gets the most constructive help. That's the criteria. Now, that takes a whole lot of thinking and a whole lot of work. But that has got to be that key word that's in there in that discussion, guarantee. You got to guarantee that. You got to guarantee that nobody is mistreated. You work in a factory. See, this I'm talking about. You say Fuller. Well, that's so broad. No, it's not. It's very specific. Right there at that meeting, nobody can be mistreated. When you're even talking about the reparations, you jump up and start calling people names and all like that. Hey, that's code violation right there. You know, I mean, hey, that's mistreatment. Name calling is mistreatment. Is name calling mistreatment? Get that straight. Well, then name calling will not be a part of this meeting, period. Otherwise, no meeting until we can get to the place we're disciplined enough not to name call, not to do any cursing, not to do any of that. Everything, all business, just in conducting the meeting. You got to have ironclad code. You got to have a code for everything, not some things, everything. Why? Because that eliminates error. That's what code does. And when you eliminate error, you're solving problems. You're
yes.
making reparations when you eliminate error.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuller. For the remaining callers on the line, please, ma'am, please, sir, be brief. We only have 2 hours. Please be brief. Respect that. All right, let's go to Victor, Canada. Here you go, Victor. You're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Oh, hi, Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby.
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Yes, I have two questions. And I'm
please be brief with your questions, okay?
Okay. Why is it racial shadow boxing not categorized as racial shadow boxing confusion? Because I tend to experience racial shadow boxing confusion the most. On page 137 on the revised version of the book, it says avoid racial shadow boxing. When victims of racism, non-white people are directly or indirectly assigned, bribed, coerced, otherwise influenced by the racist white supremacist to speak and or to act to do harm to other victims, such speech and actions can be described as racial shadow boxing. Why isn't it not termed as racial shadow boxing confusion? Because in page, there's a page that talks about the six strategies that are used to confuse non-white people, and I rarely hear of racial shadow boxing.
Well,
are you asking, Mr. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller. I'm sorry.
You're asking why isn't the word confusion added to it?
Yes, sir. Because a lot of the times...
Well, here again, this has been mentioned before in this program. Anything that the racist does in interaction with non-white people, they always look for a way to cause confusion. Why? Because when you can confuse people, you can control them. You become their masters. The person who is least confused is the person who is always the person in charge. That's in any setting. The white supremacists understand that. So they make sure that the white code is, if you are among or around or involved with any person classified as non-white, you are supposed to be the person who is less confused than anybody present. Otherwise, you're going to lose power over the people who are what? Who are confused. So that's always implied all the way through the book anyway, whether it's mentioned or not, as a racist strategy. Just because I didn't add the word confusion to the shadow boxing thing, I could have, but you have done it yourself, just on this program, which means you understand the concept. See, words are nothing but tools.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That's it.
And if you don't need a tool, you don't use it. You don't have any more tools in your toolbox than you need to use. Otherwise, you just got a loaded toolbox with a whole bunch of weight that you got to carry around.
Mm-hmm.
And black people are given words all the time. We are given new words all the time, tons of words. But a lot of these words don't match anything that has to do with solving a problem.
Okay.
So you want to have, when you load up your toolbox, say, this tool is going to be used to do this. And if that tool don't do that job, get rid of that tool.
Get rid of the tool. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Fuller. Victor, quickly, what is your second question?
Okay, what's really difficult for me is when I'm dealing with the racial shadow boxing, then I'm also getting hammered with racial dislocation. And it's like, you get attacked by other non-white people, but because of the compensatory concept, it instructs me to give me the understanding to see that they're being coerced, they're being bribed, they're being influenced by the system. So I understand that, but at the same time, I'm being constantly bombarded left and right. You've said before, you made the analogy with the Tom Hanks movie about there's no crying in baseball and that there's no crying in compensatory or counter racist logic. But sometimes it seems so overwhelming, but I'm not confused. So I guess I'm just wondering, what else could you say to that, Mr. Fuller?
All right. Thank you, Victor. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
If I understand the question for the 10 millionth time, because this question takes all kinds of forms, it just comes down to what do you do? And in this particular instance, what does a black person do when you're around, if I understand the question, other black people who don't agree with what you're saying? That's all that I think that I'm getting out of this. That's what I'm getting out of this, which is what I should get out of it if that's what's being said. First of all, I want to understand what's being said. So if the question is, according to the code, see, everything is about code, and code is exact. What do you do when you're talking to black people and they're disagreeing with everything that you're saying? Page 171 and 172 takes care of that in a slam dunk. Codification is about slam dunks, not dribbling down the court. Dribbling down the court don't count. Baskets count. Everything in codification is supposed to be about basket, 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 basket. Put your hands on the ball, ball in the basket. Dribbling ain't, you don't even practice that. Put your hands on the ball, ball in the basket. put your hands on the football, touchdown. All this stuff about plays and whatnot, go left, go right, hey, put your hands on that ball, touchdown. That's what codification is supposed to be, bypassing all of that in-between excitement stuff and getting right to the point, right quick, in dynamite fashion. Boom, it's all over. Now, all these expressions I just made, they're just words that don't mean nothing. But on page 171 and 172, anytime anyone is disagreeing with something that you're saying and the way you're saying it or your viewpoints and all like that, 171 and 172 will do it every time. It has to do with what? The four wants. You ask the person, well, what do you want me to do? Why do you want me to do it? How do you plan for me to do it? And what do you expect the constructive result to be?
All right. It's to the point.
These are four questions. They'll
mm-hmm.
take everybody right where they need to be. I don't care where on the planet you are, what time of day it is, and whatnot. It'll take everybody, not where they want to be. But the answer to those four questions will take everybody, without fail, right where they should be. That's what I mean by we need a code.
That's right. That's right. Get to the point. Thank you. Thank you, Victor. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Okay, let me break it here. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And to get in contact with the show, 516-453-9921. Make sure you depress the number one button if you want to make have a question or make a comment. And I'm going to ask you again for the fourth time in today's program, please, ma'am, please, sir, please listen. Do not ask a whole lot of questions in the one questions. Just ask your question. Keep it simple so that Mr. Fuller can understand, the audience can understand, and I can understand. I'm asking you, please keep it short. Be brief. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y. And you can also get on the chat room, and they are on there, and they are talking about that. But anyway, and anything that you need, any materials, go to producejustice.com for all the books and all the latest information. That's the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. With that, let's go to Raymond in Georgia. Raymond, here we go, Raymond. Go ahead.
Good morning,
Good morning, sir.
My question is on page 179 of the Revised. The second question, what is the correct way to interact with non-white people, generally in their interaction with you, with others, conduct themselves to a manner that is arrogant, crude, dictatorial, discourteous, etc. So I'm asking Mr. Fuller to explain his answer and his example. Just a brief, elaborate on it for me.
Okay, thank you, Raymond. Mr. Fuller?
I didn't get the question.
Well, the question was on page 179.
Second question.
It's in bold printing. It says, what is the correct way to interact with non-white people who generally, in their interactions with you or with others, conduct themselves in a manner that is arrogant, crude, dictatorial, discourteous, inconsiderate, mean, and or unjustly rough? That was the question in on page 179.
Well, the answer is on the next page, 180. The answer to that question, the answer to that question is on page 180, the next page. And it says right at the top what the answer is. Is there a problem with the answer?
Wait a minute, let me get him back in here.
Well, for people who have the textbook, it says, say nothing. That's the answer. Say nothing to that person or about that person and keep it that way as long as the conflict is likely to continue. Number two, put distance between yourself and that person. Get away from that person. In addition, avoid being in the presence of people who enjoy conflict, verbal or other means. When you cannot avoid being in their presence, find some way to concentrate on something else other than those people. Work on something. Read, write. Avoid all unnecessary conversation. Make all contact both necessary and of constructive value.
Right.
Okay.
Make
yeah.
all your contacts both necessary and of constructive value. Now, just that last instruction should apply all the time anyway. Make all contacts both necessary and of constructive value. Now, does the average black person on this planet make all of their contacts of constructive value? I mean, stay away from every contact with everybody that's not going to produce a constructive result. You just don't make those kind of contacts. That's code. That's hard rock code. That's code in steel. Counter-racist code in steel. You don't make contact with anybody unless you have a pretty good idea. You'll make mistakes. That goes with it. But it's going to produce a constructive result. You go into that Juneteenth, quote-unquote, celebration, first thing you think about, what kind of contacts I'm going to make? With whom? And is it going to produce a constructive result? And if the answer is in your own mind, after you make that assessment and answer that question, if the answer is not going to produce a constructive result, don't go. Don't go. You don't do nothing that's not going to produce a constructive result, ever. You don't go anywhere. You don't speak to anybody. And when it looks like you're in a situation that's not producing constructive results, break contact with that situation. That's what that means, in case you want an explanation. Break contact with that entire situation until the situation changes, and situations do change, where you have an occasion where you have an opportunity to get into that situation and produce what? A constructive result. All of this making contact with people just to be making contact, that's got to stop.
Oh, right.
In black people's contact, conduct all over the world. As of this moment, no more of that. You don't make contacts unless
you
pretty well have it in mind that it's going to produce a constructive result.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, Raymond. Don't be a stranger. Purdue 21 said, no contact, no conflict. If there's no constructive focus, go separate. Social distancing is beneficial for this. Thank you, Purdue 21. Thank you for that. I guess it would VGQ on the chat. Thank you very much. J.J. Keller from England, I believe, has joined the conversation, but we're going out to California. Swa, you're on. Go ahead, my brother.
Greetings, Mr. Bobby. Greetings, Mr. Neely Fuller. My question
yes, sir.
Is, Mr. Neely Fuller, is there a difference, and if there isn't, can you explain, between the word nigga and nigger? Because a lot of non-white people seem to want to be niggas and not niggers, but I suspect they're the same thing, but I like your opinion.
Words are nothing but tools, so the person who is using the tool should explain the tool. That's code. Words are nothing but tools. no matter what kind of word it is, words you never heard before. They're nothing but tools. They either do a job or they don't. So it's what job are they supposed to do? So when a person uses one of those words you just named, ask the person, what are you trying to accomplish? What's supposed to be the constructive result? See, constructive results, those are the two words you should always think about all the time. These are the only words in the universe that really mean anything or should mean anything to a black person's mind. All other words are supposed to lead to those two words, constructive result. All other words, all other deeds, everything that's thought about is supposed to, in a black person's mind, lead to those two words, constructive result. So if a person says, well, I'm going to use this word to describe black people, I'm going to use that word, and this word is going to be different from that word in that, you know, it's going to have a different meaning. And you say, okay, so just get this straight. Here's the question. What is going to be the constructive result of using either one of those terms or both? What's supposed to be the constructive result? What is supposed to happen as a result of you using them? And is that result going to be constructive? Period. Yes or no? And if it's going to be constructive, how? Show me. Show me. Show me. Show me. Show me. Show me the constructive result. Well, man, you know how that goes. And no. Show me the constructive result.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Swa, one of our loyal callers there. Appreciate that very much. Mr. Fuller, this comes from Theodore. He says this. He said, good morning, Grand Rising to all. My question for Mr. Fuller is, what would happen if we who are prisoners, just one of us, in this system of white supremacy racism, displays and execute our own sense of humanity? Would that humanity eventually rub off and manifest itself onto others, like actor Tim Robbins' character as Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption? Or should we just accept our fate as prisoners and eventually wither away, i.e. grow old, get marginalized, and die, like actor James Whitmore's character as Brooks Hatlin? Thank you for reading my question.
If I understand the question, you can just refer to what I just said previously. Do what it takes to produce what? A constructive result in every move you make, each and every day. Ask yourself, this thing that I just did, or these words that I just said to that person, did it produce a constructive result? No such thing as in between. It's either going to be constructive or non-constructive. See, that's why codification is so precise. Black people are not known to be precise people, except when it comes to some sports. We can understand when we make a touchdown. That's precise, all right? But when we walk off the field, we're completely lost when it comes to anything else. Our record shows that. Walk off the golf course. We're kind of confused about everything. Walk off the baseball field. Confused about everything. Walk off any field where the white supremacists have not taught us to be precise. We're confused about everything. Now, what does confusion bring about? Non-constructive results. That's why millionaire you know, multi-millionaire, multi-millionaire football players wind up in the same shape they started off in before they ever picked up a ball and became a pro. I got to get back to the ghetto and get with my homies. Get with your homies and do what? What we used to do. What all the things you used to do were the things you were trying to get away from. You said. Now you wind up right back where they wound up. And that is somewhere in a lockup wearing an orange suit. And you were with the NFL. How did that happen? What you know, you didn't know what to do when you walked off the field, except what you were used to doing. Codification is not about no black person doing what they are used to doing, because what we are used to being and doing is being prisoners of war. That's the only thing we're used to. So we need to get rid of everything that we're used to, because everything that we're used to has to do with being a prisoner of war. And just like the person alluded to.
Yeah, Mr. Lush. Caller,
Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Andrew Dufresne came into the Shawshank prison thinking about one thing. Doing what? Getting out of here.
Getting out of here, yes, sir.
Yeah, just one thing. All this other drama y'all doing like Red is doing, trying to be the wheeler dealer behind the walls. Brooks hadn't thrown in the towel a long time ago. And just trying to run his little library, all right. Some bogs run around there trying to sodomize everybody. Andrew Dufresne took a look at that whole scene and said, hey, the only thing that really counts being in here is getting out of here.
Getting out, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, all the rest of it's just a lot of nothing. But getting out of here is what it's all about.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuller. Let's go to Muhammad. Muhammad, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Thank you. Wait a minute. There you go. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby and Mr. Fuller. Real quick, Mr. Fuller, what would be a codified response or your VGQ to a white person that asserts that since non-white people has access to material goods or material conveniences, that there's no racism?
The white person who says to a black person that there's no racism?
No, sir. Well, yes, but they will give the reason since that a black person has access to material goods like electricity or a car or food at a grocery store and just, like I said, material goods or conveniences.
And the question is, what do you say to a white person who says that there's no racism against that person? Is that the question?
Yes, sir.
You just simply say, sir, I respect your opinion. You know, I heard what you said, but what you said, sir, is not true. End of story. And why do you say it's not true? Because it's not. See, codification is real simple. It's not head-scratching, ever. No head-scratching in codification. And you start with what? You start with the truth. You go for the truth, and it'll take you right where you need to be every time. Is it true that white supremacy exists? And is it true that every person who is non-white is a victim of white supremacy? The answer is yes. That's true. Even if you're in a gilded cage, it's still a cage. Gilded means golden. A black person in the system of white supremacy is subject to and victimized by the system of white supremacy. Once you take the position that every black person is born in the system of white supremacy, and that is the most powerful government ever brought into fruition among the people of the planet called Earth, maybe not in all planets, but in this planet called Earth, it's the dominant government of the planet. So if you're a victim of that government, you're a victim of that government, regardless of what you have and don't have. You're still a victim, because you're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be looked upon as being a person eligible to be mistreated in any circumstance, based on color or anything else.
Okay.
So that black person is being mistreated either directly or indirectly, even if the black person says that the black, that he or she is not being mistreated. You're still being mistreated because you're
still
in a mistreatment system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. And thank you, Muhammad. Thank you very much. And thank you for being brief. Thank you so much. Mr. Fuller, we have about 13 minutes, 59 seconds to go until the conclusion of this show, but it is at this particular time that we have reserved for you to speak about this wonderful publication, your book.
And the publication you can get by going to producejustice.com. And I would recommend that everybody have the book, not just because Neely Fuller wrote a book, but because it's the best way, in my opinion, because I am, you know, there are other books being written, and I like to get some of them, too. One is put out by a lady named Miss Dorothy Brown, I believe. I've heard about that book. Now, I'm not advertising other people's books because I haven't read that book. But I've heard of some of the content of the book, and it sounds like it's a little bit of codification in there from, like it's supposed to be, from Miss Dorothy Brown, who is a black woman, who's talking about racism as a system. Now, that alone should get people's attention. Now you're thinking at the level where I'd like for people to think, and where I've written my book to try to take everybody to think. Think of racism as a system, not as a bunch of incidents, like the George Floyd incident and the, that
mm-hmm.
incident and that other incident. No,
mm-hmm.
it's a world system that covers all nine areas of activity and runs 24 hours a day everywhere on the planet, that covers everything that black people do in economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And you can get my book, my, you might say, offering, by going to producejustice.com. Producejustice.com.
What's the name of your
any
book,
opening
Mr. Fuller?
Discussion, sir?
What's the name of your book?
Three titles, really. It's called The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic title, but that's a whole bunch of $2 words. I mean, it don't mean nothing until they explain, and they are explained in the book. But another title is The Compensatory Counter-Racist Code, which is basically what the book is. And it's a textbook workbook for victims of white supremacy. That's specifically, that's the other title. That's the title that's most explicit. That's the in-your-face title. Textbook workbook for victims of white supremacy that tells you what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say. As
mm-hmm.
an individual, you don't have to look and check with nobody and whatnot. You just take the book with you and look in there and say, I'm going to say this. You pick out what you want in any of different occasions. And you
now,
say
three, there are three volumes of this book. Is that correct, or two or
yes,
what?
Yes, there's three volumes of the same book, but the first volume, the original copy, most of what's in that copy is duplicated. Almost everything is duplicated in the revised, expanded edition, the 2016 edition. So there's no reason to get the 1984 edition, even though it's at the website, producejustice.com. But a lot of people want all three books.
Yes.
For reasons which they themselves, I guess, have a reason for doing it. But then the second volume is an extension of the revised expanded edition, even though the second volume, the word guide, Compensatory Counter-Racist Word Guide, came out before the revised expanded edition. But I was trying to get these books out as fast as I can for a very practical reason, a codified reason. I didn't know how long I was going to last, and I still don't.
Yes,
that's why I'm trying to just do a cram thing, really. These last two books, the basic book, the revised expanded edition, and the word guide, that's a cram job. These books are not written in any way close to the way that I would have wanted them to be written. I had to write them in a hurry, you might say, or put them together in a hurry. But you can get them by going to producejustice.com.
Okay.
What I think is the books, even in their ragged presentation, will go a long ways toward doing what I set out to do, solve the race problem.
Go
to producejustice.com.
Producejustice.com.
And you can always start any discussion by going to just the back cover of the book. Just that alone should keep you busy for a while.
All righty. Let's go quickly to David. David, we only got a few minutes, but David and Dayton, go ahead, David. Quickly, what is your question?
How you doing, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller?
Good, sir.
Yeah, my question is, what is the code when you say a word to a person and they're confused, and then you try to clear the confusion up, but they don't want to hear that, but they're attracted to you in a certain type of way? Thank you. That's all the questions.
All right. Thank you, David. Mr. Fuller?
Appreciate you.
Go to page 171 and 172 of the revised expanded edition. It'll do it every time. One of the last conversations, I think next to the last conversation that I had with Dr. Frances Kress Welton. Some people may be familiar with her. She wrote a book called ISIS Papers and the Kress Theory of Color Confrontation. And she refers to my work almost endlessly during the time she was here on Earth. Okay. And she said, when I talked to her, one of the conversations, I gave her, I ran it past her, page 171, page 172, talking about wants, the four wants, because every creature wants something every second that creature is awake. Every creature, every person, everywhere. And that'll do it every time in answer to the question.
Okay.
Because Dr. Welton, when she heard me say that and ran it past her, and I said, what do you think? And she said, I think I'm going to use that. I am going to use that. That's what she said to me. Yes.
Yes.
And
okay.
I think that when you don't know what to say, you run out of words, you're getting frustrated and talking to black people, go to page 171 and 172. And just ask those questions, first of all, of yourself, because that's the way it's presented, and then to the other person. It'll always take everybody right where they ought to be.
Yeah.
It'll take everybody where they want to be, but I always say it'll take everybody where they should be, like it or not.
I know before she passed, I had spoken with her with a telephone conversation, and I was trying to get together an idea of you and her on the same line. But, well, she passed, so it didn't happen. But that would have been – I might have been good. I don't know. All right, last call of the day. We're going down to Charlotte. Charlotte, and that's going to be Willie. Willie, we got you. You're the last one, man. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Appreciate it. Good morning. Good morning. Very quickly, Dr. Welsing said that white supremacy, when white people circumnavigated the earth, found out that they were a minority, invented white supremacy. And the biggest thing I like about Mr. Fuller's work is that he gives us the concept of the code in a way of dealing with that. And the Matrix, the movie The Matrix, I think is helpful in helping us to kind of think about that. My question is, how do we, one, wake up enough black and white and non-white people in terms of what is historically going on, and how do we identify those white people who may potentially be our allies in producing justice and getting rid of white supremacy?
Okay.
I said, in answer to the question, that's why Neely Fuller took all that time to write the textbook for victims of white supremacy. And you can just give it to white people or the information to white people or non-white people. And I'm not just pushing a book, I'm pushing a concept Just give them the concept. But, you know, the book helps with the concept better than anything that I know of. That's why I took the time to do all that writing. But if we got to wrap our minds around, we need a compensatory code. The white supremacist system works on a code basis. And you need a code to counter another code. Nothing else will work. And you got to plant that idea. You have to have an exact code to counter something else that's an exact code. Counteracting another code. That's how the match goes up. If you do anything else, it's not going to work. That's the premise.
All righty. Thank you, Willie. Appreciate you, bro. Okay, Mr. Fuller, we have a little over 3 minutes to go. And what I wanted to do was give you a chance to tighten up or freshen up anything that you need to do before we have to terminate this particular session.
Same thing I just said, basically, that we need a code. We need to sit down, or stand up or walk around or do whatever on a daily basis and interact with everybody. See, because this is code. I'm trying to get concise and right to the point. Everybody that you interact with, have it in mind. Keep it in mind. Two words, just two, out of all the millions of words that are floating around, particularly on this race issue now, and will be more, millions and millions and millions of words. No, just two, constructive results. Just ask that question, sir, ma'am, what's going to be the constructive result? If you can't think of nothing else, just always somebody say, well, let's have, what we need is another holiday and whatnot. Wait a minute. Hold it. What's going to be the constructive result? I want to know that right before we even start. Right before we go into any details about when it's going to be and who's going to get it together and all this. What's going to be the constructive result? Do you have any idea what the constructive result's going to be? If you don't have one, get back to me when you do. Because that's the main thing. In the opening and in the closing of everything that black people, the non-white people of this planet, the prisoners of war of this planet, should be thinking about. And another thing, that's something else I want everybody to start using now. And that is, the frame of reference is that you are a prisoner of war. If you're classified as a person of color, you are right now a prisoner of war and have been since you were born and even before you were born, because you were born in prison. The system of white supremacy is a prison. I want to emphasize that. We should think about it. And the people who are maintaining the prison, the people who run the prison, the people who are white supremacists are all war criminals. So you want restitution for that. War reparations.
All righty. Got to leave it there. So thank you, callers. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Don't forget that we are victims or prisoner of war. And for more information about results that Mr. Fuller has said, you can go on YouTube and type in Neely Fuller results. There's about an hour program there. I recommend it highly. You can hear that we need results, not confusions, with Mr. Neely Fuller and Dr. Randy Short. But again, thank you for listening. Thank you for all your calls that you did. Thank you, Mr. Fuller, for your answers. ProduceJustice.com is where you could go to get everything. Yeah. And any mistakes that we've made, and boy, we made a lot today, we'll try to get better. So we'll hopefully see you next week. Mr. Fuller, thank you so much. Callers, thank you. Chat room, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, and apologize for the background noise.